You can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 1. And tonight we're going to look at the principle of scripture buildup when working the word as we examine the records in the Gospels concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Specifically, who bore his cross and how many were crucified with him. In John chapter 19, start in verse 1, it says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, 'I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man!' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him. You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, 'Whence art thou? Where did you come from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?' Jesus answered, 'Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin.' And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaks against Caesar.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, so about noon. And he said unto the Jews, 'Behold your king.' But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' Pilate said unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priests answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.' Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." So, verse 17, it says, "He bearing his cross," right? And then in verse 18, it says, "And where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." So between those two verses, this is where we get many Christian churches traditionally with the notion that Christ carried his own cross up to Calvary, and there were two people crucified with him, one on each side, right? If you look at a lot of the paintings and all of the, you know, carvings and things that are in a lot of churches, it's always Jesus in the middle and one on each side. But as we're going to see tonight, this is not the accuracy and truth of God's word. So we're going to look at this, the record of the crucifixion now in the Gospel of Matthew. So go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. The Gospels are good for this type of research in the Bible with scripture buildup, because they a lot of them cover the same records from different perspectives. In Matthew 27, verse 22, it says, Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. So he said, this isn't my job. As far as I'm concerned, he's innocent. You guys do it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Like, we will take the blame. Verse 26, Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. So they were doing this in the common hall. And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. Verse 32, and as they came out, so as they left the common hall, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. All right, so in Matthew it says that a man named Simon of Cyrene was the one that they compelled or forced to made him carry the cross. Right, so that doesn't have the same, or it contradicts what we saw in John, where it said that Jesus bore his cross. So we'll have to keep reading. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. So in these verses 33 to 37, we have a list of events. He was moved from Jerusalem to Golgotha. They crucified him there. They parted his garments and cast lots for them. They sat down and they watched, according to verse 36, and then they set up his accusation over his head. All right, so that all takes time to do, right? To get him there, to crucify him, to gamble for his clothes, to sat down and watch him for a little while, and to set up his accusation. And then verse 38, it says, Then, after that time had passed, were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left, right? And the word two thieves there in the Greek are the words duolestai, duo being two, and lestai being robbers, right? These are people, the Greek word is for people who not only steal something, but are violent about it. They're robbers. Like, they're willing to beat you up or murder you for the things that you have. And that was punishable by crucifixion. Verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Okay, so verse 44 says that the two robbers, the two thieves, also mocked him along with everyone else who was there. So these robbers mocked him. Now, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or for this purpose was I spared? And so that's the record of the crucifixion in Matthew. So we have two people crucified with Jesus, and both of them mocked him. So let's go look at the record in Mark. Mark chapter 15. Verse 20. This record more or less matches Matthew, so we'll just read kind of the tail end of it. But it says, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Okay, so this agrees with Matthew, that Simon, the Cyrenian, was the one who bore his cross. So we've got two records saying that it was Simon, and we've got one record saying it was Jesus. And they bring him into the place, or they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him, which were the thieves, reviled him. All right? So that all seems to line up with what we saw. Simon bears the cross, the two robbers crucified with Christ revile or mock him. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. One more to go. Luke 23, verse 20. It says, Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant or immediately with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, or won out. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him, this is speaking of Barabbas, that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will, and their will was to crucify him. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Okay, so again, it says that Simon was the one to bear the cross, but it says that he might bear it after Jesus. And that word after Jesus isn't in terms of time. Like, Jesus carried it, and then Simon carried it. Right? It's not like Jesus did it first, and after Simon did it. But it means after in terms of following. They led Jesus out, and Simon bore the cross after or following Jesus. And you can leave a ribbon finger, whatever you have here, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. So some people will point to that after Jesus and say, well, that's why John says he bore the cross, and why Matthew and Mark say that Simon bore the cross, and Luke is the bridge, right? That Jesus bore it and then Simon bore it. But if the word of God is true, Jesus was beaten to a bloody pulp prior to making his way to be crucified. He was in no shape or condition to be lifting lumber on the way. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Right? And we know from the accuracy of God's word that he was crucified on what amounts to a pole, right? The trunk of a tree, and not necessarily a cross. He bare our sins. So what he bore was our sins, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, or by the beating that he took, we were healed. Okay, so go to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Right? So this verse says that God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. And in 1 Peter it says that he bore our sins on the cross or the tree when he was crucified. So the thing that Jesus Christ bore was our sins. He paid for our sins so that we could be righteous. And go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. And it says, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his what?
Cross.
Right? So again, what Jesus Christ bore for us was our sins, right? The handwriting and ordinances, the accusations against us, the things that we had done wrong in our lives, Christ bore those and paid for them so that we could be righteous, so that we could be forgiven of all trespasses. That's the cross that Jesus Christ bore for us. So the record in John is referring to a figurative cross, right? He bore our sins on the tree, right? But he did not carry the cross to Calvary. You can go back to Luke chapter 23. That was Simon's job. And he bore it following Jesus. Verse 27 of Luke 23. No, I'm sorry, verse 32. We're going to skip down to 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. All right, so now we have in this record in Luke two malefactors, two others. And the word malefactors is not lestai, it's not robbers like it is in the other books in Matthew and Mark. Malefactors is a different Greek word. It's the word kakorgai, and that can literally be translated evil doer. And it also says here that those two malefactors were led with him to be put to death. And if you remember, the other thieves came later, right? Time had passed. They crucified him, they parted his lots, they put up the accusation, they watched him, and then the thieves were brought to be crucified. These kakorgai were led with him. So they were led from Jerusalem to Golgotha with him. So that sounds like a different set of people, right? The timing is different. The word of God uses different words for them. So there are two additional people here that were led with him. Let's see what happens to them. And when they were come, verse 33, to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. So the malefactors that were led with him were also crucified with Jesus. And there was also one on the right hand and one on the left. But they appear to be different groups of people. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. So again, there was people watching. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. So again, they're mocking him. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other malefactor, answering, rebuked him. He reproved him and said, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We are evildoers. We belong up here. But this man has done nothing amiss. So in the other records, both of the thieves were reviling him, were mocking him. But here, one of the malefactors is sticking up for Jesus Christ. So either the word has a contradiction in it, and there's not truth there, or these malefactors are indeed different people. And I think that's what we know to be true. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee today, as we know from the class, he's telling him today, thou shalt be with me in paradise sometime in the future. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. So we have a different record here where we have malefactors, evildoers, who are crucified with Jesus Christ. So it appears as though there's more than two. There's two pairs of two. And two plus two is what?
Four.
That's right. Four. So let's go back to John 19. Let's go back to that difficult verse, John 19:18. John 19:18, again it says, Where they crucified him and two other with him, comma, on either side one, comma, and Jesus in the midst. So what's really interesting and cool about this verse is the word one is not in the text. It's not in italics here, and it should be, because it was supplied by the translators who later came along and saw all the pictures of two people crucified with Jesus Christ, and they added the word one. It's not in the original Greek texts. And we have no punctuation in the original Bible either. So the verse better reads, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side. Which makes a lot of sense given what we saw. There were two with him on either side. There was a thief and a malefactor on either side. And Jesus in the midst. And the word midst there is properly supplied as well. Because if you have a bunch of things and you're in the middle of them, you are in the midst. If you have one thing on your side and one thing on the other side, you are in between those two things. So usually the word in between is used if there's only one thing on either side. But in the midst would imply, and accurately so, that there are multiple things on either side of Jesus Christ. There was a malefactor and a thief on either side of him. And in verse 30 of John 19, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So it was beginning to become sundown right before Passover, and they said, these guys aren't dying quickly enough. We need them dead so we can take them down before it's a Sabbath day. Can we break their legs? And Pilate said, sure. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. So they came up to the first guy, and they broke his legs. And of the other, so they came to the next guy and broke his legs. And that word other there is the word allos, which in the Greek means of a different kind. There's another thing there, but it's of a different kind. There's another Greek word that means other of the same kind, but that's not this word. So the first one they broke the legs of, and then they broke the legs of a second guy who was different than the first guy, because one was a malefactor and one was a thief or a robber. But when they came to Jesus, verse 33, and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. So they didn't have to break Jesus' legs. And if there were only two people there, this order would not have made sense. It would have meant that they broke somebody's legs, walked right past Jesus, didn't really inspect him, broke another guy's legs, and turned around and walked back to Jesus. But because there were four crucified with him, the sequence makes sense. They broke the robber's legs, they broke the malefactor's legs, they then came to Jesus and said, he's already dead. So now we know, and we can see from God's word, that four people were crucified with Christ. And we're going to close in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. So we can understand from reading one or two of the Gospels how people might get the idea that Jesus Christ bore his cross, or that there were only two crucified with him. We can sort of understand where the tradition comes from. But we want to be workmen of the word. We want to rightly divide the word of truth. And in Psalm 12, verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The word of God is pure. There are no contradictions in it. It's all truth. And when we work the word the way that God wants us to work the word, it all fits like a hand in glove.